Welcome to the Fantasy NASCAR Podcast. I am Race for the Prize. Let's look at the Xfinity Series, Martinsville, review the salaries, who are the value plays at the bottom, who are the best point per dollar plays at the top. And first, go to racefortheprize.com. That's where you can get access to the Fantasy NASCAR spreadsheet, $30 for the month of April. PayPal it, Venmo it, Cash App it. Send it over, and then I will share the folder with you, and you get all the glorious Martinsville, Texas, Talladega, Dover, every single series. This will probably be a little bit longer podcast, just like the truck series, because once again, I did too much research. Maybe not. We'll see. Let's start at the bottom, work our way to the top. Dawson Cram, 4,500. Do I want to go with an extreme value play? Maybe, possibly. You can check back the previous Martinsville lineups where, or previous Martinsville podcast where we talked about this. Johnny Davis, not the Johnny Davis that we once knew, but did show flashes of brilliance last week. Although Cram, just the 33rd highest rated driver, he did end up finishing 25th. So being that he was able to benefit from race circumstances, he could also benefit from race circumstances again. As I mentioned in previous podcasts about Martinsville, littered with cautions, plenty of opportunities to stay onto the lead lap. And in the Xfinity Series, we could get more pitting. We should get more pitting. Whereas in the Truck Series, not a lot of wave arounds. So the back pack, the bottom 10, really stand no chance. Cram's just good enough that you're not going to cram him in, but he will be a viable option. As we saw last week at Richmond, made it work. JD Motorsports cars were actually halfway decent. They're clearly the bottom of the middle pack, if you even want to consider them there. But at 4,500, maybe there is a scenario. Maybe he starts in the back. Either way, decent result last week. I don't mind it. Ogata, not taking a Gase car. They wrecked their car. They're going to have two cars this week. I just don't see them putting together good vehicles. Leland Honeyman, a driver that we talk about every single week. Young, entered into the Xfinity Series this year. They're not the top of the mid-pack, but they have a car that is capable of a 20th place finish. 24th driver rating last week. Again, can he hang on the lead lap, be in a position to take advantage of all the cautions? Again, we only run about 13 green flag laps per run. So can Honeyman put together 13 good laps, Stanley lap? Yeah, he can. And he's done that this year. Very impressive for the young driver. And he's getting solid finishes. So at 4,800, you're going to go with him before you go with Cram. But starting position definitely is going to matter. It's going to be a no on Gase. Ellis last week had terrible vehicles, but he's been halfway competitive at Martinsville in the past. I'm not going to throw him out just because they had bad cars at Richmond, but if you had a bad car for Tommy Joe Martins and Alpha Prime at Richmond, I just don't see how within a week Ellis is going to have a significantly better car, or his teammate Poole, who is significantly more expensive and has not been very good at this track, although I don't think he's had the best equipment. Vargas is going to be a no in a Mike Harmon car, although Bailey Curry put up a pretty decent fight a couple times in the Xfinity Series in a Mike Harmon car, but that was several years ago. I don't expect that to happen. There is no reason to roster Vargas. Blaine Perkins, driver that I'm consistently talking about as a good short flat driver, short flat track racer, and decent road racer. Didn't get the result last week. Thoroughly disappointing day for Sieg last week. I was high on Sieg, and they just didn't have the cars. The Benedetto was fine. Ryan Sieg got into a wreck. Kyle Sieg did about what we expected him to. And Blaine Perkins actually was running halfway decent before he had a mechanical issue. So it can be explained why Sieg was a letdown. Now, the issue with Sieg, as we'll talk about in a second, this team has really struggled at Martinsville over the years. And when we look at these Perkins finishes of 13th and 10th, those are with our sports. This is significantly a downgrade. And it's a boost to whoever's going to be in the Al car, which is going to be Anthony Alfredo. So I don't think I'm going to go to Perkins, despite him being decent at short flat tracks. I just don't like him in this car. I don't like Sieg at this track. Bobby Dotter had quite a bit of speed last week with Garrett Smithley and with Logan Bearden. So Bearden is going to be in play. And he does actually have the old man. He's not old. I think he's like 28. A 2015 DNQ at the Virginia Triple Crown at Martinsville. Oh, he didn't even qualify. Well, if you watch the Truck Series video, you'll know that in those triple count races, which you can look up at thethirdturn.com or just check my previous video, you can see all those races with, you know, the names of Heim and Bubba Pollard, Josh Berry, Carson Quapple, Lane Riggs, all those classic late model North Carolina, Virginia boys. Bearden, 2015, didn't qualify, but again, like 120 or so drivers try to qualify for that race. It is a phenomenal event. Again, I am saying that because I am a Danville, Virginia local at one point in time in between Sobo and Martinsville. So that Triple Crown's kind of a significant deal. Those are some great classic grassroots tracks. But anyway, deep in the research, I think you can roster Bearden because the daughter cars looked pretty good. So yeah, no experience here, but he does kind of. Either way, pretty solid day last week. Average running position, 21st to Richmond. Car was fast. Let's roll it into Martinsville just down the road and see if we can get better. He is definitely in play, much more than Blaine Perkins. Smithley's back this week. Now, though, he's in a Johnny Davis car. Not really that interested. Not a lot of experience lately. You'd have to dig deep into the stats to find when he raced at Martinsville back in the day, but then you're going to find a lot of results from JD Motorsports when they had halfway decent cars. Not nearly as fast as they are today. I don't really see any reason to go there. So again, this week in the Bobby Dotter car, we've got Myatt Snyder jumping in, because remember, Morgan Baird, the long drink legend, the Finnish legend. Snyder's going to get the ride this week, probably threw this together last minute. Very solid finishes at Martinsville in the past, but had much better equipment, although I am pretty happy with the way the Dotter car raced last week with Smithley in it. Cold jumping at Richmond, so I believe in the Dotter cars. Snyder has shown success. He also has a solid finish in the truck series in a thrown together race once upon a time when Johnny Sauter was suspended. So he's been in this situation before where he wakes up and finds out, oh, I'm racing at Martinsville. It's been a place where he's been quick to adapt. Now, all those races were typically in pretty good equipment, and this is a downgrade, but that's okay because we're getting at 5,600. By no means am I expecting a top 15 finish. But can he hang on to the lead lap and get a solid day? Absolutely. I have much more faith in him than probably Bearden. Probably definitely more than Perkins. Definitely more than Ellis. And maybe even Leland Honeyman at that. But you do get almost $1,000 more savings than Leland Honeyman. Poole, again, the Alpha Prime cars were not very good last week. Maybe they fix it. They haven't been very good at Martinsville last season. I like the guys below him more. Again, as I mentioned, the seed cars have struggled. We'll go deeper into that in a second. Haley Deegan, not the greatest results at Martinsville in the past. We can pull those up since we do have it highlighted. Might as well. We're here. Thanks for joining me. Leave a like, subscribe, share the video. Really good equipment. And he finished 20th, 19th, 19th. Not that good, my friends. Not so good, Bob. Kyle Weatherman, Mario Gosselin, doesn't really have the results there, but is having a pretty solid season. I don't really see the reason to spend up any more for him than when you get Snyder or Bearden or go really cheap with Honeyman. It's fine if you want to go there. We'll see how practice plays out. We'll see how qualifying plays out. They are in the middle to the top of the mid-pack. Worth considering. Clements, probably if you can spend a little bit more, has had a little bit more success. It's been much more comfortable. His results, very comparable to Kyle Weatherman this year. I'd much rather spend up a little bit more there, but ultimately I think I would rather save with these guys at the bottom if that's the way the construction builds. Now, if I can get up from Weatherman to Clements to Alfredo, then I would go with Alfredo. As I mentioned before, if Blaine Perkins is solid in the hour car, no disrespect to Blaine Perkins. He still is a young driver, a little rough around the edges. Alfredo is a much better driver. Alfredo has some solid results with this team and has a solid finish with, I think it was BJ, surprisingly. So if he can finish a top 10 in a BJ car, then you put him in an hour car. I'm not saying top 10 is a possibility, but if we look at maximizing finishing position between Weatherman, Clements, and Alfredo, I would much rather take Alfredo. Burton, significantly cheap. Unbelievably cheap. 6,700. We like Jordan Anderson cars. They are at the top of the mid-pack. They do hang on the lead lap. They are top 20 cars this season. Hasn't been the greatest season for him, but it hasn't been terrible. Definitely disappointing to see these results. Really just had a ho-hum day at Richmond last week. But it's not so bad that I don't think they can figure it out. Because obviously his teammate Parker Retzlaff had speed. So if, you know, I don't really necessarily believe that TJM is going to get it together. But if any team can improve from last week to this week, it would be a Jeb Burton who this is, for all intents and purposes, a home track for the Sobo native. So he can definitely improve his skills the team can definitely improve the car, and he's shown in the past, even though he has been pretty good equipment. But last year, he's with Jordan and got a ninth, so good. Again, as I mentioned, C struggles at this track, and we can pull that up just to show you, because that's what I want to do, is show you the stats. That's what we're here for, a deep analysis of the Xfinity, doing the research, doing the hard work, and then putting it on the screen, giving you the data in front of your eyes. You can always listen to the podcast through the audio version on all those platforms, but on the screen you can see the results have not been very good. I see one top 10 and a lot of finishes outside of the top 20 with a random assortment of drivers. The only really solid race would be your boy, Parker Retzlav, coming in 12th. And Ryan Sieg did get a 9th back in 2022, but Sieg's been all over the place. Not very encouraging. Sieg doesn't seem to have very good cars at this track. And it's unsurprising to see that the one driver that is able to maximize finishing is none other than our boy, Parker Retzlav. Matt DiBenedetto at $7,000. Solid race last week. Not a great race. But again, coming in, weird day, Saturday morning practice, let's go racing. Hasn't been in a car for a while. I am concerned with the car. I am not concerned with the talent. Again, digging deep. Let's look. What did DiBenedetto do in his final seasons in the Cup Series at Martinsville? Well, he finished 15th. That's pretty good against the Cup Series field. 12th, 10th, 7th, 16th, 20th. These are decent equipment, but again, he's competing against the best of the best. I know there's Obelin and Wood Brothers, and when he was in junk cars, it wasn't very good, but those were junk cars in a racing package that basically buried junk cars. And you can believe in him. I am worried about Sieg speed. Keep your eye on practice for that one. Josh Williams is 7,100, starting to slowly get better. It's still pretty cheap for what we believe a colored car can do. I know we've downgraded the colored cars a little bit, but at 7,100, he was optimal last week, had a very solid day, despite a poor starting position, still with the 16th best driver rating. Can he be that type of driver? Yes. Could he benefit from the end? Yes. So he's definitely a play. But if I can get a little bit more, then I'm definitely going to Parker Retzlav, who had a really good week last week. As I pointed out, he actually ran probably a little bit better than where he finished. Had some issues late in the race that lowered his average running position and driver rating. Retzlav is doing everything that we want to see. Solid finishes at Martinsville for Sieg, for Auer. We're excited to roster Parker Retzlav at 7,300. And then we also have a note here about Chad Kendrick, his crew chief. Chad Kendrick was previously the crew chief with Matt DiBenedetto in the Truck Series. So not only was Matt DiBenedetto pretty solid in the Cup Series, 7th at Martinsville in the Trucks last year with Chad Kendrick, 15th with Chad Kendrick. So very good. Kind of knows what he's doing. Back up here, 2018, Austin Hill for Young Motorsports getting a 9th place finish. Timothy Peters, would that have been Red Horse? Or might have been a part-time BK racing ride. Daniel Hemric, these were BK racing rides. Got a win. Chad Kendrick with Joey Logano, Ryan Blaney. Guy has tons of experience at Martinsville. Knows what he's doing. Now, again, that's Truck Series, but they didn't run the Xfinity Series at Martinsville for years. They did in the trucks. And so these are the stats that we have. It's definitely going to benefit a driver that was already pretty good and on top of our list. I mean, you can make a case for SVG and Gisbergen based on, well, it's about braking. It's about getting on throttle. Yeah, and you can also make a case that, man, Martinsville is its own beast. And to be a newbie and to be a guy who really is just out there turning laps every single week, trying to get better, not really passing drivers. Sure, I'll take that at a cheaper price tag, but at $7,500, you're overpaying for a guy who's really just trying to fit into the series. Parker Kligerman, $7,700. I don't mind it. I really don't. He has been very solid this season. Driver ratings of 6th and 5th at the plate. Okay, who cares? 10th and 13th, though, Las Vegas and Phoenix. 10th at Richmond. These are the races that we're circling. Is he a top 10 driver? Yes, he is. Could he benefit at the end and maximize his finishing position? Yes, he can. At $7,700, he's very affordable. What's our note on Scott Borchetta and the big machine rides? Have they been good at Martinsville? The answer is, yeah, they've been okay. Kligerman. 10th, 17th, got a 7th with Nick Sanchez. Jade Buford, cracking out 22, 17, 19. That's pretty good. That's pretty decent. And almost finishing on the lead lap of every single race except for that 22 for Buford, who finished one lap down. So I would expect it to be pretty decent equipment. I am winded today. But that's what happens when we do long podcasts. Corey Heim, as I mentioned in the previous podcast, very solid results in the late model races in the Virginia Triple Crown at Martinsville. Has the experience. Won the race in the Truck Series last year. 30 hog points, Dominator points, whatever. What about Sam Hunt? Do they put together decent Martinsville vehicles? The answer again is, yeah, pretty good, but not that great. But again, you do have to say, like, hey, Connor Mosack, probably not going to be good at this type of racetrack. But Kaz Grala, Derek Griffith, they're getting top 15s, halfway decent. Not the best of the mid-pack in the past, but much better than Sieg. And we do love Corey Heim. We do love what TRD is doing. It's been very fast in the Xfinity Series. Third highest driver rating last week at Richmond. I think you can get very excited. Same thing for Taylor Gray. Heim's probably your favorite win the Truck Series. Taylor Gray is the dark horse candidate. It's kind of crazy that Corey Heim or Taylor Gray is more expensive in the Xfinity Series, but then again, it makes sense. He is in a JGR Toyota. He was optimal last week. Looked phenomenal at Richmond. Why won't he do that again? Very solid in the Truck Series at this racetrack. Love that play. Just as much as Corey Heim. I know on paper, well, this is a Sam Hunt, but the Sam Hunt ride is very well-funded this year. The resources are going into it. We've seen in the past when John Hunter Nemechek had a very solid ride with Sam Hunt and TRD development, he could put together some good performances. That's what we are seeing from him. Brandon Jones, you got to downgrade him a little bit because he didn't have Jeff Mindring as his crew chief and was phenomenal. I think without Jeff Mindring, you're not going to get the performance. Has not been that great this season. Wrecked last week. It happens. You just have to deal with it. But ultimately, you're not getting a lot of savings, and I don't know if the upside is there. Carson Quapel, getting a part-time ride. Everyone is super excited about this kid. A lot of these young late model or even old late model racers, we're really pumped about. You saw last week what Bubba Pollard was able to do in this vehicle. Now we've got Carson Quapel. Quapel does have some NASCAR experience in the Truck Series. Which one are we looking at? Oh, we're looking at Third Turn. And we can pull up. So if you want to go dig deep, thethirdturn.com. You go down to Virginia Triple Crown, and we can look at these specific races between Sobo, Langley, and Martinsville. Finished third. And these are very competitive fields, the best of the best. If you're in the South, you know what this is all about. You're going to see familiar names. Peyton Sellers, a former winner. He outraces him. This is a photo finish. Quapel probably could have won. We all know Quapel's been on absolute tear in the Cars Tour and in these late model races. Always big names. You got Caden Honeycutt is also in this race. Very solid drivers every single time. We'll go back and look at another one. That's 2023. Let's go ahead and dig even deeper. What do you do in 2022? Good. Love it when the page is slow. It gives me time to catch my breath. Third at Langley. Second at Martinsville. There's Peyton Sellers again. Caden Honeycutt. Corey Heim. Bobby McCarty. Even Mason Diaz in there. Very solid day. Very strong. Has experience. So, yeah, you're not going to see anything on here in terms of Xfinity Series, but if he can race a late model, he can do it. And as we've seen in the past, this is where Josh Berry had that big breakthrough, not any Xfinity Series history, I believe, at Martinsville, comes in with that part-time ride and basically saves his career for Junior Motorsports. Could Carson Quapel be the next Josh Berry? Well, Josh Berry was kind of an older guy. Carson Quapel is the real deal. He's going to be a full-time driver. He is the next guy. I mean, Riggs got his year in the Truck Series with Front Row. Next in line is going to be Carson Quapel, will be the guy in 2025 that we're following every week. AJ Allmendinger, decent short flat track racer. I think you're overpaying for this colored car. He has a chance, but in this price point, not really that interested. Riley Herbst, really good day last season. Remember, he closed the season out really strong. So I imagine they can take those notes from last year where they closed out strong and continue the process. At 9,000, he can lead laps from fast laps. One of the things worth mentioning in the previous races, because of all the cautions, because of all the craziness that unfolds, He could very well win this race, not really be the lap leader. You look at Justin Allgaier last year, average running position of ninth. He did have the second highest driver rating. He gets the win despite the fact that Sammy Smith absolutely runs away with the race. So maybe someone runs away with the race again and stuff unfolds. Pit road unfolds. Sequencing happens because of all the cautions. And Herbst could clearly cycle to the front and be an affordable option. Austin Hill, this isn't necessarily a track that I love him at, so not much to say there. Jesse loves having a good season, but he is not one of my favorites because at this point, we're really just probably going to go to the top. Sam Mayer, terrible season so far, but he has looked good in previous seasons at Martinsville. Had a pretty good year at his truck debut once upon a time before he had a mechanical failure. He knows how to run this track, but again, there are guys that are just in better situations. Sammy Smith was awesome here last year, but I think he got downgraded him a little bit because those were Jeff Mindring, crew chief, JGR Toyotas, which we have seen Brandon Jones be awesome in. Saw Sammy Smith be awesome in. Sammy Smith is running double duty in the truck series, so he will have plenty of reps. So that is encouraging, and I would boost him above much of the drivers that we've already mentioned. And Junior Motorsports does seem to have Martinsville circled on the calendar, as does Hendrick in general. They know what they're doing, so you can elevate him a little bit there. He's definitely a play. Creed has been really interesting at this track. Not really great in the truck series, but has shown some speed. Putting him in a JGR Toyota. Now, if he were the only JGR Toyota, then yeah. But the other JGR Toyotas are also fast and are better drivers at this track. So probably can't get there. Cole Custer is a top five car. But the reality is he probably doesn't have anything for the top three. There I said it. Next, Justin Allgaier, very solid, very good, could cycle to the lead. You can't cross him out. Crew chief changed last year, still puts together a pretty good result. Running well this season. Last week, doesn't get the finish he deserves because he just makes the mistake of staying out at the end, banking on another caution. Several drivers fell into that category. Cole Custer was one of those guys. There's a handful of them that really didn't benefit at the end. But overall, fourth highest driver rating in Richmond, so he's dialed in, and he definitely can compete. But the reality is, we're looking at Smith and Almirola again. Almirola has been excellent in the Cup Series. I think if you go back the last six races at Martinsville in the Cup Series, he has four optimal lineup appearances. He was in the optimal lineup in both races last year. We know the Stuart Haas Racing Fords have been strong at the short flat tracks, but Almirola also took those good cars and got good finishes. And this is a track where experience absolutely matters, so you probably want to boost him to the top. Now, that being said, Chandler Smith has also been good, and if we can both afford both of them, we love Jeff Mindring at this track. Period, end of story. We love what Chandler Smith's doing. We love the speed in this car. Martinsville might be a place where he struggles a little bit and not be as exceptional like we see at Phoenix or we see at Richmond, but it's right there. It's very close. It's a degree of difference. Ultimately, I want to go Almirola first, but I strongly believe you could end up aligned with both of these drivers in it. That should cover all of our bases. Again, if I'm looking at a hog, it's those two, and then Allgaier is a part of that conversation. Smith sneaks in. Herbst, also because of his price point, also because of where he's running, is also in that conversation. And then I really like these guys in this 8K range. I like Quapel. Maybe people think you're overpaying, but there is the possibility of a top five out of Quapel. Definitely can get a top 10. We'll see how it goes in qualifying. Probably not going to be the slam dunk play that we had with Bubba Pollard. That was a layup last week. But everything says you can believe in this kid. Can he go out there and deliver? I think he can. Heim Time, yes. Taylor Gray, yes. Parker Kligerman, yes. If I can afford these guys as my third or fourth picks, I don't mind. I want to maximize finishing position. They're all possible top 10 drivers, and I can get a little bit of place differential, hopefully. Retzlav, yes. Benedetta's going to be in there. Williams is going to be in there. Burton, yes. Alfredo, yes. Clements, I'll take him maybe. Then we'll skip down to Mike Snyder, yes, as my punt. Bearden, yes, as a punt. Not really excited about Perkins at a little bit more price. That'll be probably a no. Ellis will probably be a no. Honeyman, yes. And then you can do what you want with Cram. Thanks for joining me, guys. Like, subscribe, share. RaceForThePrize.com. This is where you get access to the Fantasy NASCAR spreadsheet. $30 for the month of April. Bunch of sheets, bunch of data, as you can see, bunch of links, bunch of ways to help you make better plays. Blessed to have you guys listening. Love you guys. Trips of life, fantastic.